Hello and welcome to a special extra episode of the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello, hoisty boy.
James.
Hoi.
And Brody.
Hi.
In fairness, we're all kind of like deliriously tired. Like, I don't know. How much sleep do you reckon you've had over the last couple of days, Shannon?
I reckon like 4 or 5 hours. I managed to get like an extra 50 or so minutes this morning. But yeah, we've officially all been up for 12 hours today at this point. Right? Yeah.
Has it really? Oh, that's I wild. Went back to bed. And did you guys stay up from like right from the Xbox conference this morning?
Pretty much.
Damn.
It's been a long day.
Good luck. Yeah, thank goodness for the public holiday. Let's be real. Right, yeah, so today, extra special podcast, we're going to dig into some of the press conferences that have happened over the weekend. As of recording, the other one kind of outstanding is the Nintendo conference on Wednesday morning. But we're going to get stuck into Xbox, Square, and Ubisoft today. So we'll skip What the Wiki and all the usual shenanigans. We'll need Kieran back on for the next one anyhow. But really dedicate today's episode to discussing those three conferences. And James, we're going to kick things off with Xbox. Firstly, what did you make of Xbox's conference in general?
I think it was pretty good. Overall, I think... And it's kind of probably been their goal with every conference is they've definitely made Game Pass like a service that you kind of have to have. Like, I would be surprised if there are people who own an Xbox and wouldn't have it, especially after what they showed today. I still...
If you have a PC, get a Game Pass, like, as well. It's not just something for Xbox.
And I don't think they... And, like, so many comments are like, oh, everything's coming to PC as well. And it's like, well, that's fine. Like, that's what they want you to just be there. No matter how you're there, they want you to be there. And I think people...
You're going to be able to play in, like, a browser soon, right? Like, they don't care where you're
People don't care. People don't realize that they don't care about that so much anymore. I don't think, which is, I think it's interesting, and I feel like they kind of placed a lot of bets a long time ago, and now it's like all paying off.
Is that people like expect kind of like special treatment, seeing as they've kind of bought into Xbox's ecosystem as well, like the console ecosystem?
No, I think it's just people trying to diminish the fact that there's no true Xbox exclusives.
It's not Xbox people saying that. It's like people from the other side of the fence. Yeah,
you know,
right.
But I think it's really good. I still personally feel there's a little bit too much CG still, but... And we'll get to specifics later, I guess.
We're going to go through game by game.
Yeah, if you have a game that's coming out next year, I think maybe... I don't know. Like, maybe this is unfair of me to say, but like CG for a game that's meant to be out mid-next year is a bit like weird to me. Makes me think, is it actually coming out in mid-next year? But otherwise, like, I think it's pretty good.
What about yourself, Brody? I know you were you particularly keen on the Devolver conference that we spoke about last week. How does Xbox compare to the other conferences you've seen?
Up until this morning, I probably would have said that Devolver was my preferred conference so far. I still like it a lot, but I think Xbox did enough to, I guess, fulfill that promise of games so far, but you know, like, it gives you a bit more hope for their first party sort of catalog going forward. Like, and you can already see like signs of them committing to that, you know, a big game per quarter thing that they plan on doing. Like, you've got Forza coming out this year, you've still got Halo, allegedly. Shannon still doesn't believe it, but I think it's good. I think it was a good conference. I tend to agree with James. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of gameplay, but as far as the Xbox has no games narrative, I feel like it's starting to, you know, put a dent in that. I was a fan.
I mean, I reckon they've got to have squashed that at this point. Like, I love this conference. This is by far and away my favorite so far that we've seen. I think when it just kind of came to like juicy announcement and game reveals and just the quality of games on show, it even kind of like comparing it to Koch and stuff, like just the way they presented this was far and away that much better. But yeah, I reckon they've like got to quash that narrative that Xbox doesn't have games at this point, like to kind of get confirmation. I don't think James likes me using the word quashed. I don't know. Just like the way that they've kind of confirmed that, you know, these Bethesda games are going to be Xbox exclusives. Just looking at the lineup even to the end of the year is insane. Like, it's all coming to Game Pass. There's pretty much something kind of hitting every month, be it like a third-party indie game that they've kind of got the Game Pass hook up to. Yeah, I mean, the year looks amazing for Xbox, and it's probably only a taste of what to come, I think. What about yourself, Shannon? They kick things off with Starfield. How was the start of the show for you, seeing that?
Firstly, yeah, just as a whole, like, I agree. Like, I think Xbox, the last, like, three or four times they've had showcases, like, the amount that they've announced, like, from a AAA point of view, an indie point of view, partner point of view, like, it's unmatched in terms of scope. But the thing that's weird to me, like, sort of piggybacking off James's comment, is, like, we didn't see any of the games they announced last year. So, literally, Fable, Forza, Avowed, State of Decay 3, Everworld, Perfect Dark. And I think that is the still area that's the area that's a bit odd to me. With Xbox, like, they tend to announce these games with these sort of CG trailers, and then we don't really ever get follow-ups for them until they just drop, which is a weird, like, error in marketing, in my opinion. Like, you've got Nintendo doing Directs and Sony doing State of Plays. Like, I think they need to focus more on these individual games and sort of highlight them as they go. Like, that's the only sort of gap to me. And even with Starfield, like, I think we all would have said, like, we would have thought we would see, like, gameplay for that game. But then again, I don't think we're expecting a release date, like, 18 months out.
Yeah, even like something like Scorn, which we saw gameplay of last year. I mean, that was given a release window of spring 2021 and included within Game Pass, but we didn't see anything new of the game. So yeah, you highlight a good point there.
Maybe it is just about they know that because people are playing these games on Game Pass, they're not paying $100. Like, it's just about having as many games coming as possible and not having to highlight them because people aren't really handing over money for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like just kind of name-dropping them, right?
Yeah.
What did you make of the first game that they kind of showed off? That was, of course, Starfield. It's highly anticipated. They revealed... We've only seen in the past, like, a teaser kind of animation, essentially, really, of the logo. We got to see a little bit more of the feel of the game, and some stuff kind of came out in interviews after the fact, too. Where is your excitement at for Starfield?
For me, personally, like, I really like the look, the setting. I'm a big... I don't know why James is pulling a face. I'm a big Bethesda Game Studio person, but again, like, you couldn't really make a call on the game itself at this point at all, I don't think. Could you?
Yeah, it's still too early. What about the very nature of it being announced, like, a year out? Like, it's not coming out till November 11 next year. That's quite a break from tradition for Bethesda.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I feel like we've kind of gotten used to Bethesda announcing games like 6 months out.
Oh, just because of Fallout, is that it? Like Fallout 4?
Yeah, Fallout was like that, but
I think that was the outlier, Fallout 4, like traditionally.
I was just thinking, I can't remember before Fallout.
What about Doom? Doom Eternal? I feel like that one was a pretty quick turnaround.
And like 17 titles.
Are we thinking specifically like
Bethesda game?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, like, and maybe that's different. But
yeah, I don't think you can draw too many conclusions about this game just yet, whether it's going to be, you know, Skyrim in space, just because they say that, like, it's that far out. It's yeah, it's impossible to say. I think
said the structure was similar to Skyrim, but like,
yeah, but yeah. then they also said that they want to make the world feel far more lived in, so that already will set it apart from that. Like, everything won't be quite so baked
in. I take it by like structure, it's kind of like, you know, you create your character and you're tossed into this big open world, and it's really kind of up to you if you're going to pursue the campaign storyline or like go after companion quest lines or whatever.
I almost feel like it'll be a mesh of like Fallout and Skyrim, in the sense of like the inside areas will feel like vaults and these sort of really lived in areas that are closed in, and then you'll leave it and it'll feel like Skyrim or Fallout Wastelands, I guess. Like, that's how I see it, which is exciting to me. Like,
I'd love to know if it's like set on the one planet or if it's like planet hopping, because yeah, I mean, I feel like we're kind of used to like a land or like a region with these.
Maybe there aren't planets. Maybe it's just ships.
Maybe it's just the one. Maybe just ships. Yeah, true. Good point.
There was, I saw an Brody and I were talking, there was like an Elder Scrolls reference. Do we know if like these games are connected at this point? I feel like they've always denied that, haven't they?
But does it matter if they are though? It'd be so distant.
I don't know. I guess not. Shutting down.
It'd be kind of cool if like this was a crew that left Earth to escape the nuclear fallout or something. Yeah, I wouldn't really care. All right, should we move on and talk about Halo? Shannon, you're still not very hopeful this is coming out this year. What kind of said that to you about the way that they handled the news for Halo Infinite today?
I think they obviously want it to be out this year and they're planned, but I think like even I'm more convinced now that there's a chance that this won't come out this year, or it'll just be the multiplayer, which is clearly what they're focusing on here, and maybe the campaign will just get like a prologue or something. Like the fact that they didn't date this and it's meant to be 4 or 5 months away, but we've got a Starfield date which is 18 months away, is very telling. But yeah, I think they'd be doing everything to get this out, and it looked a lot better than the last time we saw it a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess right at the fact of saying like holiday 2021 is like it's coming out the end of the year, if this year. Brody, what about yourself? Like, what did you make of Halo becoming the multiplayer becoming free to play? What they kind of showed of the story as well. Where's your excitement at?
Yeah, I obviously like the idea of the multiplayer being free to play. Like, it's just going to be. It's going to feel like a huge event, I feel like the multiplayer in Halo Infinite, being that the entry level is so low. Like, the player base is going to be massive. Mm. It's just going to be, like, it might get back to, like, the Halo 3, like, level scale of, like, you know, enjoying to play Halo Online. Like, I haven't played Halo Online since then. So, I'm actually really excited for it. And I think they've got another showcase they're doing tonight for the multiplayer, so I'll probably get up and have a look at that. I tend, as much as it upsets me, I probably agree that Shannon's probably on the right track. Like, I think the multiplayer does seem like it's far ahead of the campaign. My concern is that we didn't really see any gameplay from the campaign again. Like, yeah. A little CG trailer that sort of sets the tone and the mood of the story is nice and everything, but yeah, it's a bit concerning that they, like, I would have liked it if they took the same, like, slice of gameplay from last year and, like, showed how, you know, it had improved upon, you know, its previous visuals and all that sort of stuff. But the fact that we didn't really see it does lead me to think that it might not make it to 2021. But either way, yeah, if the multiplayer does, then we're in for a good time.
Yeah, I must admit, like, the glimpse of the story they showed had me kind of intrigued. I like that it seems to be adopting a real kind of heavy character focus. You know, I kind of almost kind of, and I hope this eventuates to be true, but it kind of reminds me of God of War, and like maybe it could kind of do the same thing where it's kind of taken a well-worn narrative and story and kind of just humanized the characters a little bit more and dug a little bit deeper into them. I don't know. That's maybe just wishful thinking. Yeah. James looks skeptical.
It's not, that won't happen. But I think it's interesting, now that we're talking about this, I'm just thinking, they've definitely started separating the multiplayer and the campaign. Like, yeah. I know that they didn't say, like, they're coming out separate, but, like, I don't know, this is a very specific thing, but, like, I feel like with that graphic where they, like, split it into two, and they're, like, multiplayer, epic campaign, whatever.
Like, well, I was confused for a moment because, like, the initial Game Pass graphic they showed had Halo Infinite multiplayer listed. I was like, well, where's the campaign?
So, like, I feel like they're splitting that so that, like, they can maybe start having that perception, so when they actually might announce the campaigns later or whatever. That,
yeah.
But then I don't really get how that would work logistically. But
if they decide to release the multiplayer this year and leave the campaign,
I think the fact that the multiplayer is completely free to play, like, means that they could do that even more, because it could literally just drop. Right. It doesn't even have to be on Game Pass. Like, anyone can play it.
Yeah, and people's pre-orders just wait until the campaign comes out later on, I suppose.
Yeah. I think it looks better, though. 100%. I think the grapple hook will add a lot to the proceedings.
The proceedings.
Yeah,
no, I'm kind of keen for it. Like, it's always been a really kind of strong arcade multiplayer shooter, and to see them kind of really kind of lean into that with a bit of the grapple hook in there, having played like Apex Legends consistently for the last couple of years, it reminded me of you know, kind of Pathfinder's ability a whole heap, which excites me a bunch. Yeah, I mean, I'm I'm busy trying to convince people to get an Xbox now because I very much want to play this and I want to play Forza Horizon 5 with my mates. Exactly
with you.
Right, you what, sorry?
You've got three friends right here right now.
Well, that's exactly what it's going to be, James. Yeah. I'm going to turn to you all. That's exactly what Xbox One is want to kind of achieve from this, right? Is they want to start bringing these exclusive titles over and really make a case for having access to Game Pass, be it through an Xbox console or PC. Shannon, I mentioned Forza Horizon 5 there. That was one of the games to be announced and a real kind of deep dive. It's probably the game they kind of had the biggest deep dive on, actually. This has rocketed like right up my highly anticipated list now. What about you? I know you've enjoyed the previous entries.
Yeah, I love it. I was saying before, like, I've played at least 2 and 3 quite a lot, and 4 I've like dabbled in but never really got sucked in the way I did the other ones. But this one, like, when I think of Forza Horizon and like the locations I want, like, this looks to be it. And yeah, super keen that it's coming out this year. Mexico looks great. I think it'll really utilize the power of the Series X, so really, really keen for it. Can't wait.
Yeah, the presentation of the game looks phenomenal, from like going from the kind of vistas and highlighting the tension they had there and then just kind of sweeping off into gameplay was insane. Brody, are you much of a Forza Horizon fan? I'm not sure.
I did play Forza Horizon 4 a little bit, thanks to Game Pass, and sort of in the lead up to the Series X launch, I did. It's a bit of fun. It reminded me a lot of, like, you know, Burnout and stuff like that, in terms of being like an over the top arcade racer, which I find a bit more enjoyable than Forza as a sim. This one looks pretty cool. I don't know if it's as visually striking as everyone says it is. Like, I've heard people saying it's like the best looking trailer that we saw today, and I don't see it personally.
Oh, the shiny car bits. What's the front like?
Was it like the bonnet?
James is quite the mechanic.
yeah, that was good.
The shiny bonnet.
I don't know. I mean, really good.
Sold the show.
If you look at the fringes of everything, there's a lot of pop in, and there's like a lot of background pop in and stuff like that. And the game's not even going to run at 4K 60 frames. So like,
just maybe we'll save the presentation talk until we get to Square.
It is embarrassing.
Some of the water parts don't look incredible, but it's like, it's open world and you can literally drive from one end to the map. So I feel like you're being a little
for a console that boasts power. I feel like you should be able to hit 4K 60. Fuck off.
Wow, wait.
I'm super excited for it. I love the inclusion of stunt races. Like, as we've spoken about in the podcast before, I'm still playing GTA Online, and a big part of that is because of the stunt races that are on there and the fun that we have. To see them kind of included, and it looks like they're going to be customizable to a certain extent. People are going to make their own tracks and whatnot. Is that what they called it? Lab or something?
The lab,
Shannon's shaking his head.
I'm just watching it now. I think it looks so good. Like, everything from like the skies to the ray tracing on the cars to the cacti all around. Like, it looks great.
The cacti or the cacti needles.
4K 60 with ray tracing is hard, isn't it?
Yeah, in an open world game. Like, when you've got this much, because like you've got to look at all the cars around you as well, reflecting back. I would think that would add to the
4K 60 with ray tracing on is like something you need a high end graphics card to do on a PC.
So what,
like,
did they say?
For a $700 console to be able to achieve it is insane.
So what is it, Brady?
Isn't it like 4K 30 frames and maybe
1440 60 maybe?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Yeah, right.
It might even be higher than that. It might be, is it 18 something maybe? Is that a thing?
I think that's kind of what Dirt was when it launched, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dirt looked fine, so maybe I am being critical.
Well, we've got plenty more to talk about and criticize, Brody, so don't worry too much. Age of Empires 4, who's keen on Age of Empires games?
No, not really.
No.
I just wish, like, I know this is like basic bitch kind of stuff to say, but just put it on console. Like, I don't know why. This is like one of those franchises, one of the few first party franchises now that Microsoft has, besides Rare, that's quite nostalgic for people. Like, I feel like everybody has a memory of like Age of Empires, like, whether it's like, maybe I'm showing my age here, but you could literally get it on a CD in a cereal box back in the day.
And I feel like if, like, Flight Sim, which was traditionally a PC game and is really complex in terms of its controls, can translate over to console, then so can this.
Yeah, and then...
I was going to say, like, I get the RTSs are typically, like, associated with mouse and keyboard, but they've done it before. Like, there's plenty of track record for RTS coming to console, so... like, I mean, even if you just kind of insist that people plug in a keyboard to their console, right? Like, they support that, so why not just make that an option?
Like, I think it looks good, but I can't... Like, I don't play enough RTS, I guess, to be able to look at that and be like, this is really moving things forward beyond it just being a new game.
Mm.
It will definitely come to Xbox. I think this is one of those things where, like, A, they just wanted to get it out, and B, like, it is about, like, making sure people know that Game Pass is also on PC and getting people to subscribe there. Because I feel like the PC audience is still likely to buy games on Steam and hold off until... something is on Steam, which we've seen time and time again. So I feel like this is about getting that audience over to Game Pass there as well.
I guess now that it's also the old... I think it's one of the last games from that old slate of games they were working on for ages. So maybe they just didn't have, I don't know, the time back when Shannon Loftus was, like, running the studios. Like, you know?
Yep. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's talk about Redfall, which is one of the announcements that caught me most by surprise. Did not see this one coming. Certainly didn't feature in our predictions podcast a couple of weeks back. But this is, of course, coming from Arkane Studios in Austin, while Leon wrap up Deathloop. It's a cooperative kind of shooter by the looks of things, fighting off against vampires, sort of like... stormed a middle America, like a town in middle America.
Massachusetts.
Brody, does Massachusetts, thank you. Does this do anything for you?
Yeah, I'll try anything that Arkane puts out. I like that it has like a really dark and gothic, but like almost hammy sort of tone. Like I feel like it leans into...
it's like B-movie horror.
Yeah, kind of and shtick, we spoke about that a bit while we were watching it, but I kind of like that vibe, and I like the... we only get like a little glimpse at the characters, but they all seem like to be pretty interesting and fleshed out, and I like that there's a bit of humor there. So I think I'm going to have a lot of fun like getting into the shoes of these people, essentially. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be... have they said if it's going to be as like sim as like their other games, like Dishonored and whatnot?
I don't think they've really... I think that was the one problem people had. Not problem, but, like, we don't really know how it plays in terms of, like, is it stealth? Is it loop? Like, I think all we know is it's open world and co-op, right? So, I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I think, James, good. This is probably, like, an example of it being very kind of CGI-focused reveal, right? Like, we've got really not much idea how this game plays. Do you think there's any chance, as Brody's alluded, that it is kind of, or does have any like immersive sim elements to it, similar to what Arkane have done in the past, typically kind of characterized themselves with in the past?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because obviously, yeah, this is probably the main game that I was referring to when I was talking about CG at the beginning, because we saw a lot of cool stuff, like of the art and the world, and I guess the idea that it's co-op, but I feel like this might be something different for them. And I think, I don't know if you guys remember, but back when something came out and didn't do well for Bethesda before they were at Microsoft, and then they said they were kind of going to start pivoting to games that were more multiplayer, that had an aspect of multiplayer. And then you kind of started seeing that with Prey, which obviously was also Arkane Austin, and they had the Typhon Hunter mode in that. I feel like this is kind of them moving on, like kind of working from that kind of in a way, like a multiplayer game. But I still think there will still be an immersive sim aspect to it. But I think it, yeah, like I don't know. Like it's hard to really extrapolate anything from. I know that was a long trailer, but like it wasn't really indicative of much in terms of how it will all play. Like, will I be able to just play it by myself and enjoy it? Because I get the vibe, I won't.
I'm reading the website now, and it very much is about building like the perfect squad to take down the vampires in the world. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Arkane is the studio that really have... that you interviewed you and that were talking about that multiplayer... what was that game they were working on? Or like prototype?
The Crossing?
Yeah, like they obviously have always wanted to do something like this that integrates like online co-op, open world... single player. But yeah, I'm super keen. Like True Blood is one of my favorite shows of all time, and that's about like vampires.
I'm sure it'll be just like True Blood.
It could be. It could be. Lots of sex. Lots of... Yeah. No, I'm keen for
it. You heard it here first. I'm keen. Yeah. No, I'm super keen for this. Like, if it is kind of a story with kind of drop-in, drop-out kind of co-op... or the kind of the ability to bounce between different kind of characters or something. I don't know, like, that'd be kind of cool. I like some of the kind of magical abilities they showed off as well. Like, that says to me there's going to be elements kind of, like, Dishonored in there too, maybe some sort of familiarity there. But yeah, like, certainly the kind of campy B-movie horror shtick, like, really does speak to me.
I think...
I thought the characters were all really kind of cool. I love that they're shooting wooden stakes at the vampires, you know, things like that are awesome.
I think with the idea of Redfall, let's say, like, you're four players and it's a co-op game. I feel like a lot of co-op games that come out don't have a lot of, like, squad synergy almost. Like, it just kind of boils down to just... blow shit up together.
Powering through.
But I feel like with, say, like, when you think about a game like Prey, you could lock something in a room and then fill it with, like, you know, some kind of gas or a bomb or something. And I guess with Arkane's experience with doing that kind of thing, where they can create these systems that give you a lot of flexibility to do whatever you want, kind of putting all of that into, say, four different unique characters that everyone can play as, I think that they might actually work. That might be something that they'll do better than anyone else, like having that kind of real, true squad synergy with the powers and stuff. But yeah, that's my...
Yeah, my worry that this is, like, being announced alongside something like Back for Blood. We saw the Anacrusis as well, which, like, seem to be cooperative games coming against hordes of enemies. Like, I want them to kind of... get on to drawing the line between this and those kind of games. Like, at the moment, it kind of looks like it could be a survival wave based kind of game, and that's really what I don't hope that this is. Like, I think we've got that in so many other games, and that's not what Arkane are kind of known for, or where I feel like their skill sets would shine. I really hope we kind of do see a story and a world here to explore. Rather than being anything kind of round based. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see more on that one. When did we get a release date for that one again?
Next year.
Winter next year, right?
June, July, yeah, August.
So is that our summer next year?
No, as in our winter.
Other way around. As in our winter. Okay, so this time next year, kind of. All right, cool. The Outer Worlds 2.
It exists.
We got any Outer Worlds fans?
We know that.
It exists. That's what we know. It's still early days.
No, I think the first game was good. I was surprised to see it because we got, like I mentioned, Avowed was announced last year, and obviously they've done like two major expansions for the Outer Worlds, so I don't really understand how they're doing Avowed this and managing that. But yeah, I think the first one was great. I think there was definitely room for improvement. I think it's just a weird one given that Xbox now own Bethesda and sort of... The Outer Worlds was sort of meant to be their fallout, in my opinion. So I think, surprised to see it.
Yeah, and there was hope that New Vegas might have resurfaced in some capacity, right? I don't know. I kind of feel like if they had kind of established this new IP and stuff, they might want to spend a little bit longer in that kind of world and do some more in it. But I can understand, why people might be a bit disappointed. Any interest in Microsoft Flight Simulator coming to consoles?
Heck yeah.
Shannon, I know you love that on PC. Yeah, Brody, this is one you're going to be playing?
Yeah, I played it a bit on PC as well. I think I can probably see myself getting into it a bit more on console because I can lounge on my couch and really sink into those transatlantic flights that take hours upon hours and just, you know, get lost in that rather than having to sit at my computer. But,
I can see this game, like, having a resurgence in, like, the light of the fact that we still can't travel. Like, people might just want to just kick back and see the world again, albeit through Flight Simulator.
Yeah. I just hope it runs all right because it's a pretty... It stresses a computer out pretty hard, so... I mean, I guess it'll put the Xbox to the test, I guess.
I know Stalker 2 was another one that caught your eye, Brody. What was it about that trailer that spoke to you? Or the announcement?
Yeah, just a really nice-looking game, nice atmosphere, nice tone. Looks like Metro Exodus, but better. So, those things kind of speak to me. So, I don't have any experience with the Stalker series, per se. I'm just literally going by what it looks like I would play.
Stalker was like the game... back in the day, like, it was broken as shit, like, it was, like, so poorly made, but it did so much with open world games, I think, that it probably doesn't get enough credit for. But it also, I would argue, is the spiritual predecessor to Metro.
Metro, yeah.
But now, like, I feel like Stalker 2 looks more like Metro, which is, like, kind of weird. But I think it looks all right, but...
Do you think this one has potential to reinvent the wheel somewhat? You say it was like the granddaddy of...
There's no more reinventions anymore, Brody.
No, like, only imitation.
Yeah.
And iteration.
We've definitely peaked. I don't know. I don't think it will like be like mind-blowing, but it looks like a really cool experience.
Mm. Parts of it made me think like Half-Life 2, like in terms of how it looks like it plays. Like it looks like physics might be, you know, relevant, which I like.
Mm.
As they are in most modern games now, you know, physics aren't a new thing. Yeah, so, wow, physics. But yeah, ooh, physics. Yeah, it looks sweet. It looks really good. I reckon this is one of the better looking games. I agree.
I remember
if you put them next to each other, I think this looks better than Forza, personally.
Yeah, but no,
different games. I know
they're different. So different.
That's a hard comparison.
They're so different.
To make,
yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, I'll just compare Forza to the other racing game that they showed today, will I?
I'm rewatching the gameplay now because I think I might have been a little bit distracted, like whilst this was occurring in the conference. And I'm playing through Metro Exodus at the moment, and I'm definitely kind of see the similarities. But yeah, oh my god, this gameplay looks stunning. I'm playing the enhanced edition with the ray tracing enabled at the moment, and that looks impressive. But this looks remarkably better than that. So,
like the bit at the end of the trailer where he's like going out into that like lightning storm on that thing, it looks just unreal. It looks so good.
Yeah. Ugh. Even just like going through this swamp at the moment, like you can really see the impact that ray tracing is having as well. All right, what was next on the list of the games to talk about? We've still got a fair few from the Xbox One.
Back for Blood. I mean,
Back for Blood. Back for Blood, we've kind of spoken a bit before. Yeah.
Brody, Game Pass is cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just like on Game Pass, like this and like several others I had literally kind of wishlisted that morning in kind of just trying to catalog what I was gonna play, like out of all the E3 announcements. And now that I kind of don't have to worry about this one, that it's just going to be in Game Pass is really, really cool. Anyhow, we're going along on the Xbox stuff. Brody, Contraband. Can you explain Contraband to me? Is that something you're familiar with?
I mean, I can probably explain the basics. It's a collaboration between Xbox and Avalanche Games / Studios. I know they're different. I don't know which this is. Studios, maybe. Which is Studios, the team behind Just Cause and Mad Max and stuff like that. And it's basically just an open world co-op heist game about smuggling contraband. That's what we know at this point. I mean, it's got a sweet trailer to the dulcet tones of Steely Dan, so I appreciate that.
Is it but, open world?
It is, I believe. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Open world co-op. So, yeah, I mean, beyond that, I can see it maybe being somewhat like GTA heists, like you have to plot out these missions,
like in the
70s. And then might be in the 70s, yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that's what I know, and that's about all my feelings on it. That's all anyone knows.
I'll ask James about A Plague Tale then. This is a game you've been insisting that I play for a little while. Were you excited to see a follow-up announced?
I am. It got really dumb at the very end, but it's a really good game. Like, I think the story
is
cool.
The Rat Tornadoes.
Yeah. yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, when will Battlefield, honestly. Battlefield just copied Plague Tale, really. But, so it is. I really liked it. Great story. Really big surprise. I think the thing was, is like, no one really expected it. Like, it was just such a, like, unique kind of take on a single player game. It had almost puzzle elements to it, but it was still cool. And it wasn't just like one of those games where there's no combat. There was still combat. They just really tried everything with it. And I don't, like, it's a really, really lazy comparison. But, and I know that people will be like, no, it won't be. But, like, it has potential to be a little bit similar to like an Xbox version of Last of Us, I think. Like, I know. Oh my god, Shannon's face. But obviously,
I know what you mean. It's got that third person.
Oh yeah,
over the shoulder feel about
I know what I mean. Yeah. Bombs out. I think Shannon's just having a little internet difficulty. He'll be back in a sec. Go on, James.
Yeah, but no, he's back. I'll let him go.
I'm saying I think it has that like third person over the shoulder feel about it. I get what you're saying in that regard.
It's just like a super grim world, like a really nice relationship between two characters. yeah, like I'm super keen for it. Like, I'm really glad that it's coming next year. I think it has potential to be really cool. I like that it's just following on, no prequel. You know, sometimes they do prequel shit and stuff with these kinds of games. Mm. I'm very keen. And the story left it in a place where they should have done another one. It's not like one of those unnecessary sequels, like where they kind of just, you know, shit it out because it was the first one did well.
Yeah. I'll try and get around to these, James. I know I keep promising you I'm going to play these games you recommend me, but I'll try.
The first will come to Game Pass soon, right? Then you can play that.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of hoping. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, we're going to move on to Ubisoft. We'll move on to Square next. But quick shout out as well to Atomic Heart. Think that game looks really, really sick.
Shout out to all the sick games coming to Game Pass, like Replaced. You got fucking, what's that other one? Somerville, Hades.
Fucking.
Man. Yeah, there's so much good stuff coming out.
Yeah,
Game Pass just rocks.
12 Minutes, Somerville,
Among Us,
Replaced, like Scorn, Back for Blood, like all coming to Game Pass. Like, these are all like on my to play list. You know, even games like Sable and the Anacrusis, which like we saw from the Summer Game Fest conference of the day. Like, I added those to my list afterwards, and now they're coming to Game Pass. It's awesome. Hello, faithful podcast listeners. It's Ewan here, your host, and I regret to inform you that at this point in the podcast, we ran into some technical difficulties, Shannon, and we had to default to the backup recording, which absolutely crippled my audio quality. But I think everyone else is audible, and we're talking about Square Enix and Ubisoft for the rest of the show. So if you can live with the drop in audio quality in myself mostly, carry on listening. Alrighty, Square Enix, next one to discuss. James, firstly, let's quiz you. What did you make of Square Enix's conference in general?
Screenshot that face and upload it and let that be.
That was a real big pout.
The purse lips.
I hated it. I just was like, so disappointed on so many levels. Besides Guardians of the Galaxy, I think Guardians of the Galaxy looks genuinely fantastic, and a real step in the right direction for them with their Marvel game. But everything else was just
waste.
Not even that. I don't know. Like, I don't want to be too mean, but like, it was terrible. Like, I was so upset. Like, I didn't watch Gearbox. I hear that was worse, and maybe another certain publisher. But like, I think, like, just, and so, and I know that, like, we obviously, like, mobile games are, like, some people play mobile games, but there's so much focus on mobile as well, which I think was very, very rough.
Some people play mobile games might be the understatement of the century.
I don't want to be like, mobile games are shit. Because, like, obviously, like, I'm not, like, you know, friend of the show, Steven, is a very big pundit for mobile games. So I don't want to, like, shit on them too much. But, like, I don't know.
Occasional guest star.
I don't know. Like, and then the Platinum, like, Babylon's Fall, like, just went in. The first footage I showed of that was just so fantastic. And then, like, it looks shit, and it's also a live service title. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
All right, well, sorry.
We'll address them game by game. We'll get into that. I promise.
To be mean.
Yeah. I think, like, my sort of gut feeling this podcast, it was like, it's on this podcast, on this conference, was that it was like kind of major announcement, just kind of filled with like very short, almost like adverts for other games that were also announcements. Like, we kind of had the Hitman kind of mobile game and the Final Fantasy remasters, which weren't at all what kind of people were hoping they would be. But yeah, Shannon, James mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, which you got the kind of sneak preview on as well. I'm glad to hear James is super excited for it. I too am super excited for it. What was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, like, at first when I found out that this was happening, I was like, it's definitely going to have to be the same as Avengers, because that was clearly to go to see. They were very clear from the start, like, player, narrative-driven action adventure, and then the more I saw and the more I heard, like, I realized that this, apart from being a Marvel action game, like, is nothing like Avengers. And yeah, looks great. I think everything from the story to the way it plays, like, and just the fact that Artists Montreal are a great studio and haven't really put a foot wrong, like, I'm super keen for it.
Yeah, I'm glad to see them kind of taking a different route than with Marvel's Avengers, the fact that it is kind of single-player campaign-focused only. I think I was a little disappointed at first here that you couldn't kind of play as the other Guardians members, but to kind of see, like, how the combat worked and issuing them commands and everything, that looked quite robust and quite enjoyable. So, yeah, I'm still excited for the game. What about yourself, Brady? Guardians, anything for you?
Yeah, I think it looks really good. I think similar to like how I thought Avengers was only at its best when you were doing the single player content. Mm. I believe that's still true. It looks like that this game does pretty much only that, which I think is really good. And it seems to capture the tone, the humor, and the the overall style of the Guardians of the Galaxy, which, as you probably know, weren't mainstream at all before the movies. So to have that translate over semi-faithfully looks pretty promising. So I like a lot of what I saw. Like, I love the team huddle thing and how, like, the 80s music kicks in and all that sort of stuff. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I'm down. I'll definitely give it a go. I'm it's one of these things that, you know, I'm glad they've announced it, you know, 4 months out. Like, I think that's a good move. Like, it's gonna make sure people remain excited for it and the hype train doesn't really, you know, slow down too much.
Yeah, I'll mention while we're on the topic, I can't imagine we'll spend long with it. Marvel's Avengers also kind of had its roadmap dug into a little bit. We got our first proper look at the War for Wakanda expansion as well for Marvel's Avengers. Do you see you dipping your toes back in, Brody?
No.
James, just to be brief, this is a rapid fire round now. James.
Sorry.
Well, Shannon, War of Wakanda. No.
Nah.
It depends. Yeah. Have they added more challenge rooms that we can do together, boys?
More harm room missions? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The light.
I can only hope.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'm kind of keen to play it myself. I think I've managed to enlist someone to play through it with me, but I can't imagine it's going to change things very much. James, let's go back to discussing... I've blanked on his name now. Babylon's Fall. You said that it wasn't working for you. What exactly about the trailer didn't really hit home?
Just the vibe was off. That's probably the easiest way
bad vibes
to describe it. Like, I don't know what. Just like from the developer who brought us like Bayonetta, Nier Automata, Vanquish. You know, like, it just didn't. I didn't see anything I liked there. I like the idea. I should be nice for a second. I like the idea of like dungeon crawling with four people in a platinum-esque game, but then everything else I'm like, okay, like, it does, like, visually I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, I really don't care about visuals as much, but like, I still think it looks quite average from an art design perspective and from a technical perspective.
It's very bland, I feel.
Yeah, like,
uninspired.
And the combat just looked kind of, I don't know, uninspiring.
It looked a bit slow. Like, I don't know about you. I don't play a lot of platinum games. I guess it maybe is to my detriment that the only one I've really dived into was Vanquish. But it seems like a really slow game that I don't really associate with what they're known for. Like, I feel like they're known for quick, punchy.
Yeah, like Metal Gear Rising as well, I just remembered.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like really out of character, and it's just a weird one.
And I'm wondering if they've turned it into a service game or not, or if that was the plan from the beginning. But like, I definitely feel like that now is like such a dirty word, don't you think? Like, I feel like games,
yeah, are especially for a Square game,
people are just trying to pivot away from that now quite a bit, I reckon. But then this isn't, so it's a bit tone deaf.
Yeah, I was just reviewing your roundup, James, and I see you said sending me into a deep depression, the game is a live service title. So yeah, clearly did excite you to hear that at all. Yeah. What about yourself, Shannon? Were you surprised to see the reaction to kind of Babylon's Fall and Square dipping their toes again into the games as a service space?
Yeah, but again, like, just Platinum, I don't know of any like bad game that Platinum have made, like, in terms of that genre. Like, they are the top of the top. Yeah, I'm sure there are, but like, the majority, and because this has had so long cooking, like, I would have expected to just never see it again, knowing how bad it looks now.
You reckon it could just never eventually?
Well, no. I would have, like, knowing that it obviously went through a development hell and ended up like this, like, I don't know how it's still a thing. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, it's still kicking. It's still kicking. What else have we got to talk about from Square? Oh, how could I forget? Final Fantasy Origin.
Quite easily.
A Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin is the full title. I had to remind myself this. We spoke about a few weeks ago as it was rumored that there was going to be this game, Final Fantasy Origin by Team Ninja, that was going to have much more of a Souls-like nature in approach. Living up to the frequently referenced word in the trailer, it's already been pretty chaotic. James, I'm going to come back to you for this one as the resident Final Fantasy fan here on the podcast. What does Origin do for you? Or not, as your face is now suggesting.
Okay. So when we talked about this a few weeks ago, the concept is really cool. I thought, like, the idea of going back to, like, almost like the origin of the entire series and the world and stuff, and making it this like gritty kind of Dark Souls-y kind of game is really cool from the Neo team. Like, what could go wrong? But then the footage is not
the demo, apparently.
Well, yeah, like, first of all, they didn't upload the demo properly, which I don't really know what happened there, but that's not a good start. But maybe that's a blessing in disguise, who knows? but it just doesn't look, there's something about, I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe when I get to play it and have that, like, tangible feel of the, you know, combat and stuff, that, like, I might have a better opinion of it. But the vibe is just also, once again, totally off. Like, I just don't, the three main characters look terrible. It just looks super rough. And I don't know, like, it's hard because, like, we complain and we don't see gameplay much, but then they show stuff like this and then we kind of railroad it. So, like, I don't really know what I want. But, like, this, yeah, I don't know. It just didn't, like, excite me as much.
I think this is one of, like, I think this is where the demo could have potentially helped it, because, like, they knew maybe it looked a little bit shit in what they were showing, but then obviously they had planned to drop the demo instantly, but we don't know.
I'd love to have talked about the demo and been like, but it plays really great, but, like, I can't, because, like, they turn the computer off halfway through uploading it to PSN. Like, I don't...
like, it couldn't... you just know that there was someone that was like, the trailer looks rough, but people are going to get their hands on this, and now that person is just in a panic somewhere in
just,
a corner.
Just for context, the demo has, like, got a file corruption or something, so people that have successfully downloaded it from the PlayStation Store, it's just not playing for them, and it's now at the point where you can't even download it. Presumably they've kind of put a pause on that while they get it fixed up.
Trouble in paradise, I say.
Trouble in paradise, exactly.
Chaos.
James, I'm like 100% with you. You know, I talked about my sort of fascination with Souls-like games kind of in the show late last week. You know, seeing Elden Ring the other day, which looks phenomenal in comparison to this, is like, this kind of looks like a cheap knockoff. And I'm like a recent fan of Final Fantasy, and like really kind of getting into 7 remake. And the thing that really kind of sold that game to me were its characters. And the three kind of characters in this look like, you know, the D tier kind of boy band, if we were to compare them to Final Fantasy 15. Like, yeah, they just look so generic and bland. Like, there's a really, yeah, this game does not do a lot to sell me.
It really does, like, the PS3, like that's the best way to describe it. Yeah,
it looks PS3 era for sure. The gameplay, like, mechanics just alone, they look kind of solid. Like, I can definitely see the Souls like combat at play, and so I'm kind of hoping once I get my hands on it, there's enough fun to be had. But yeah, really not the best foot forward on this one. Brody, you got anything different to contribute, or are you kind of much the same?
No, I tend to agree. I'm not a big Souls guy or a Final Fantasy guy, and this game, this trailer, I should say, did nothing in winning me over. So,
was there anything in the Square conference at all that excited you all that much? What about Life is Strange? I think you mentioned Beanie Go on those. The last 24 hours have been a blur.
I'll give them a go. I don't have a massive history with the series, but yeah, I'll give it a crack. Why not?
Shannon, are you much of a Life is Strange fan?
No, it's one of the games that had been on my list to go back to consistently. Like, I think I'm going to wait for the remastered, whatever that's called, and play them all, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. I've only played the first, and I love that. I do highly recommend that. I need to go and fill in the gaps in between, but I'm glad, yeah, glad these games are getting made. All right, Ubisoft then. Before we wrap up for the day, Shannon, what did you make of Ubisoft's conference?
To be honest, I know a few people were ragging on it, but as far as like announcements went, like there was more here than I thought there would be. And I think if Mario and Rabbids didn't leak, firstly, like on a Reddit list somewhere, and then the night before from memory on Nintendo's website, like that would have been a genuine surprise. So I thought as a whole, it was pretty decent. Like there wasn't much there that they showed that I wouldn't at least give a go once or twice.
Yeah, that I think that's like been one of the best trailers from the entire conference. I thought that was a fantastic trailer for Mario and Rabbids Sparks.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Brady? Ubisoft conference, do much for you?
I can't help but sort of echo Shannon's thoughts. I thought like the two games they closed out on were really impressive. That you got everything else that you knew you were going to get, like your Riders Republics and your Far Cries and your Rainbow Six and all that. But to close out on two games that one was a genuine surprise and the other one could have easily still been a genuine surprise, it would have been a really strong finish if we didn't know. So I'm slightly jealous of those who didn't read the news. But yeah, all in all, it's definitely not the worst Ubisoft conference we've had.
Yeah. Sure. James, let's talk about Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. What were your impressions of the game?
It looks pretty, but as a
what, like a Horizon 5.
No, it does look good. I feel this about the movie too. I'm like, do we really need more? But like I think yeah, it looks really, really nice. That's
I kind of hope it's something Horizon Zero Dawn-esque, but we kind of consider that it's first person, which immediately kind of, doesn't excite me awfully much. Like, I would very much love to just kind of see a bit more of the landscape, and they're such cool characters to kind of see them occupying that space. I think would be awesome, and obviously touches on the Horizon element of it too.
It could essentially just be like Far Cry Primal-esque, right? Like that's how it could end up playing out, which is a scary thought. I don't know.
It looks like it looks like a very expensive game too. It looks like it quite a budget. So
that
concerns me slightly.
The environments look incredible. As
you Ubisoft would Massive also making their Star Wars game.
Yeah.
So like, what's the go there?
Must be next, I think.
Must be far away.
Must be.
Shannon, let me ask you as well about Mario & Rabbids. Were you much of a fan of the first one? Does this excite you, or was it?
I was a fan because, it was a genuinely good game, and it was something that Nintendo hadn't ever done really with that franchise. I guess out of like Mario RPG, but I don't know if I really wanted more of it when it looks pretty similar to that. Like, hopefully, it has some more platforming and less strategy, but I don't think that'll be the case. But I don't know, it sold well apparently, like 7.5 million copies, so I'm not super surprised there's a sequel, but I don't, like I'll try it, but I just can't see myself, the first game was quite hard too, so I just can't see myself getting through another one of those, to be honest.
Yeah. And Brody, Rocksmith Plus, you play guitar, does it impress you at all, that technology?
I think it is cool, like I think it would definitely serve its purpose as a tool for musicians to, lean on a community and all that sort of stuff to like better their skills and refer to music and material and stuff like that. But the thing that's going to absolutely stop this game dead in its tracks is the subscription fee. Like it's astronomical for what it is.
Yeah.
Like it's like 25 a month, 60 a year, 60 a quarter, and maybe 150 a year or something like that. Which is
it was something like that.
So it's just crazy. Like I have signed up for the beta, so I guess time will tell how I take to it. But I can't see a massive community arising for this game when the cost of entry is as high as it is. Especially when there's an internet full of like free resources that you can find, like Guitar Pro, and, like, forums and stuff like that. It's
I've tried like kind of guided tutorial things before, like Fender Play, and that you pay a subscription for. And to be fair, this looks like significantly more advanced than that. You know, like some of it's kind of algorithmic learning and whatnot to kind of recommend you things to try, kind of based on listening to you and picking up on errors and stuff that you've made. I think that's all really quite powerful and cool. So I wonder if it kind of speaks to a community outside of your gamers. I certainly think it is kind of a high price to pay. And it's only real an investment if you're like super serious about learning guitar. Anyhow, anything else from Ubisoft? Anyone particularly wanted to call out? Or Riders Republic? Is that one that anyone's particularly passionate about?
I think it looks okay. Like there was a lot of excitement for it. And it looks sort of Forza Horizon-y, but I don't even know what I'm saying. Like sporty, I don't like it. It looks good.
It's kind of like festively, right? Like
Open world. It is open world, like racing, right? Is it? Have I completely misread that? Maybe I have.
As I said in my preview, it is a there is an open world element to it, but like the open world is more connects the races.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's pretty unique. It's kind of like
it's basically the crew that mixed with this the steep.
I'm glad to see the continuing support some of their games as well, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla getting extra content, Rainbow Siege getting crossplay and cross progression. I know will excite some people.
Assassin's Creed is interesting. Just quickly, like, do you guys think that means there's no Assassin's Creed game next year?
I think we're
another season pass for Valhalla.
No? I think it's just them making the most of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think the new content that comes out will kind of last the year from here to the release of the next game is my sort of thinking.
I just wanted like a Far Cry 5 DLC. I think looks quite cool.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. so like 3 packs, 1 each, where you play as a villain from 3, 4, and 5, which I think is a really cool idea. I think the villains have always been the main focus for Far Cry. Although I think that's going to change with this one. I feel like the villain is the focus, but like the main character will be like Danny will be too. But yeah, and Blood Dragon, which I think more people should play. So many people I speak to haven't played it, and it's such a solid little experience. I'm playing New Dawn at the moment, and I feel like Ubisoft is at their best when they do smaller, contained, more focused experiences. And that's one of them. So.
Shannon, I forgot to mention as well, you got your hands on Rainbow Six Extraction. Did you get to play a bit, or you watch
gameplay? I got to play maybe an hour and a half, and it's fun, but I just really worry that there's like a massive saturation in these like co-op PvE type experiences at the moment, and this like holiday in particular.
Yeah.
Especially like Back for Blood. Oh no, it's before Back for Blood though.
But the fact that you can play Back for Blood on Game Pass, and the fact that this is like a $80 to $100 game, it's questionable in my opinion.
That's a very good point.
It's solid. It's a solid shooter. Like it's Siege with aliens.
I've always felt like the mechanics for Siege would work well with zombies,
and it does
boarding up shit and stuff.
Yeah, it does very much.
Alrighty. Any other quick shout-outs? Anyone wants to give anything that they've seen throughout E3? We've obviously still got Nintendo to go, which we'll cover later in the week on your regularly scheduled podcast. Was there anything else that anyone want to give a shout-out? I'm kind of consulting my list here. I feel like...
I'm excited for Nintendo. I'll just leave it on that note for me. Like, I feel like it's either going to be incredible or a letdown. I feel like there'll be no in between, so I'm keen. I'm
incredibly anxious about it, but we'll see how we go.
What time is it again? Remind me. Wednesday?
2 a.m.
2 a.m. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Better get some sleep. I'm trying to like manifest. I've put out my Metroid amiibo. It's just here.
I love it.
Yeah.
With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's kind of special episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. There you can find all of these wrap-ups with all the videos and all the news that there currently is out. So if there's anything you want to do a deeper dive on, by all means, find it there. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at shankeek_, and yeah, just keep checking the site for all the news going up. Lots of good stuff on there.
We've also been joined today by James.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Jams, A-T-J-A-M-Z.
And last but not least, we've been joined by Brody.
Yep, you can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Chaos.